Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, February the 22nd, 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, the second Sunday in Lent, and on the Thursday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the New Testament letter passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in a different spot today. Go to the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making this part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. The promise, you see, didn't come to Abraham or to his family through the law. The promise, that is, that he would inherit the world. Came through the covenant justice of faith. For if those who belong to the law are going to inherit, then faith is empty and the promise has been abolished. The law stirs up God's anger, but where there is no law, there is no law breaking. That's why it's by faith, so that it can be in accordance with grace, and so that the promise can thereby be validated for the entire family, not simply those who are from the law, but those who share the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, just as the Bible says, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened in the presence of the God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. Against all hope, but still in hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many nations, in line with what had been said to him, "That's what your family will be like." He didn't become weak in faith as he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the lifelessness of Sarah's womb. He didn't waver in unbelief when faced with God's promise. Instead, he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God had the power to accomplish what he had promised. That is why it was calculated to him in terms of covenant justice. But it wasn't written for him alone that it was calculated to him. It was written for us all. It will be calculated to us too, since we believe in the one who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was handed over because of our trespasses and raised because of our justification. This is the word of God for us. All right. Romans. It always comes back to Romans. All roads lead to Romans, just like all the roads led to Rome back in the Roman Empire. And this is quite the dense passage to try to digest in the morning, so I'm sorry if you haven't had your coffee yet. Hopefully you're able to keep up with the reading. This is a way that Paul would like to introduce a couple different themes that he's going to begin to talk about in chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. So once again, Romans is like four quarters of a basketball game, 1 through 4, 5 through 8, 9 through 12, 13 through 16. And so in essence here in the last part of chapter 4, he is rounding off some of the major things that he wanted to try to cover in the first section. And in the first section, he employs a couple of rhetorical devices. Number one, he begins to talk about how the Gentiles, the non-Jews in his crowd, were in need of God because of idolatry. He covers that in the first chapter. And as he does so, I think he was trying to bring down the defenses of his Jewish friends and that this letter is written to, these recipients. But then in chapter 2, just as he, you know, all the Jews in the churches were feeling good about themselves, that they weren't born into Gentile families, Paul begins to talk about the grave state that even the Jews are in. That they had this law and they felt like they were teachers of righteousness, but yet unrighteousness would heap up in their families as well. And so he begins to talk about like they're in this great need to be justified. Law court term that simply means a verdict needs to be cast who is in the right. And this is not just in some civil matter within their community. Like this is like the cosmic community. This is the cosmic judge who is going to determine who is in the right or not. And what Paul does is he daisy chains a bunch of passages from the Old Testament. He says that Jesus is in the right. And Jesus is the one whom God is allowing his covenant righteousness to revolve around. And so if anyone wants to be in the right or justified, they got to find themselves in Christ. And that means that the Jews can't trust in their own law, and the Gentiles cannot follow just the ancient wisdom that they were collecting along the way, but they all needed to lay down everything else and to try to find it in Christ. Now, the ones who would make the most objection to this are the Jews, and he'll begin to address that more directly with some rhetorical questions in Romans 9 through 11. But they're the covenant people of God. I mean, they were a part of the seed of Abraham, and so they've got this law. The law wasn't just a list of rules, but it was like this adoption document, right? So how do we, the law is supposed to be our rescue. You're actually saying that it's our weight, it's our burden that's getting in our way. So this is where Paul reminds everybody about the story of Abraham, that before there was a law, hundreds of years before the law was given to Moses, Abraham followed God on the basis of faith or trust. And so this is before the law and its rules to follow. It's also before the law and its ability to adopt people. So in essence, what Paul's saying is that God's always been making a people. And sure, through Moses and through the Exodus and through the giving of the law, the patriarchs, the worship of God, the habits of worship and all those things, like before even all that, even though those things were important in raising Israel up to that point for the Messiah to be revealed, before that, God was calling out to the earth and he was luring people to him. And there's this one guy, Abraham, who was lured to God on the basis of faith. Now, some Christians say that Abraham is merely an example as a way, like a proof text for Paul here. But this is not the way that Paul wants to leverage it, because Abraham wasn't just given personal salvation, but he was given like a corporate promise, a mission. Abraham was called to be a family that would become a nation, and that nation would bless the earth. And so what Paul wants to remind everyone of is that this covenant-keeping, loving God is luring people to himself. He's forgiving you of your sins, and he's also luring you back out into the world to be his missional people, because more people need to hear, more people need to know, and the more people need to be included on the basis of faith, just like you and me, and just like Abraham, and just like all of these faithful ones before us. And in doing so, we'll have our justification. I just love that last verse, last couple of verses. But it wasn't written for him alone that it was calculated to him. It was written for all of us as well. It will be calculated to us too, since we believe in the one who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was handed over because of our trespasses and raised because of our justification. So this is what Paul saying is, as God is making a verdict to see if there's anyone righteous, anyone who is in the right in the earth, Jesus is the one. But in God's kindness, he's not excluding everyone else for Jesus alone. But Jesus is opening wide the gates for anyone to join him in his place of resurrection and justification, so that we be forgiven our sins, but also so that we can bear the image as the people of God. So you and I, we're going to have like a time of prayer this morning, and we're like gathering around these timeless truths, and we're going to enter into different zip codes than Paul, and we're so far away from the Roman church and what they were trying to deal with, maybe within and outside of their boundaries. But nevertheless, this message is true for you and us, that God is continuing to stitch together a covenant people, a community of the redeemed, and you and I belong to it. Therefore, we can rejoice and be grateful because of the forgiveness of sins. But we're also now empowered to be the heralds of this great message and to model what it means to live in faithfulness, to be a forgiven and free people who turn around and forgive others and who implore others to walk in freedom as well. So with all those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your covenant story. We thank you that it's ages old, and the ancients were seeking after God, and you didn't stand far off and hide from them, but you revealed yourself in so many different ways. And in a peculiar way, you revealed yourself to Abraham, who became a family, and that family became a nation, and they kept reckoning again and again of what it meant to be your people on the earth, that they could point as signposts to a great fulfillment of the ages, that you're going to mend the whole universe, and that you're going to redeem people and then send them out as messengers of this redemption. And so God, we just confess to you at times, we shrink back from what it means to be missional people. We think it's maybe more fit for somebody who's more qualified than us to do. We don't want to say the wrong things or do the wrong thing or come up empty when somebody asks us a tough question. But we thank you that being the redeemed people, means more than just saying things. It's also modeling a different way to live. And so, God, all of us are going to go to school or work, or we're going to be with friends. We're going to be in public with strangers all around us, and everyone's following a script. And we just confess and we yearn that we want to follow your script and this, what it means to be truly human. And so this day, we thank you that you've rolled back our sins and they no longer have their weight over our shoulders. The stain has been removed, that we are a forgiven and free people. And so as we live in power now with that forgiveness, I pray that we would model a different way to live, not in prideful arrogance, but in joy, so that those who are also searching for a way out, searching for justification, a way to be forgiven and free, they would find evidence of it in our lives and look to the Jesus whom we trust. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.